Almost 2 weeks ago, I lost a very special friend, David Kamenetsky. As I mentioned in my previous hesped that I gave to Mount Rebellia Greenzweig, the past few weeks was very rough for Klal Yisrael. We lost very special Yidden, starting in a terrorist attack. Then some soldiers were killed, and then various Yidden that were kashured to the world of Svarim were nifter. One of those Yidden was Rav David Kamenetsky. Then we lost some more soldiers. So today I would like to talk a little bit about Rav David Kamenetsky and what we can learn from him, as I was zeicha to develop a nice kesher with him over many years. By way of introduction, this hesped is not in any way meant to encompass the totality of Rav David's productive life story. It's just some of my personal reflections about him and his works from the many conversations I had with him. The point of a hesped is to reflect, to study, to think about, and to absorb what the Nifter meant to us. Hopefully, as a result, the lessons learned will be internalized and carried on. In our case, this is what Rav David would not want. What follows are some personal observations upon reflecting what Rav David was about and what his work was about. If there are any inaccuracies, I ask Mechila in advance. This is for me personally. If anyone listens and enjoys, Adrab. Beginning, how did I get to know him? Many years ago, when I was a bachur learning in the Mir, I approached him in Hebrew University, the National Library, and I asked him some questions about some articles of his that he wrote. He was very happy that he had written in the Yeshurim. He was very happy that I had chapped the various hints of attacks of that he had written or was being maramas to in some footnotes of his in his articles. Since then, over the time, we got closer and closer. He was always available, whether by phone calls, emails. He always tried to help and make himself available. And of course, every visit over the many years to JNUL meant a nice geshmak geshmuz on various topics with him. I'll begin as follows. Many times, when you know a person, you know him as in a certain way, he wears a certain hat, so to speak, a certain levush, and that's how you look at him. But you don't know the whole person. L'mashal by Reb David, for example, at his Levaya, found out that he was a Baal Tefillah. He was an excellent Baal Tefillah. People love to just come here to hear him daven. It was a very interesting tidbit that I did not know about him. His children, he was a special grandfather. He was special to his children. All of them loved him so much. Okay, that's not shocking because he was a great person, as I'll mention. I do not know his whole history, even though I had many different conversations with him and I learned a lot from him. As we spoke, I know he learned in Philly, Tarvadas, even by the great Talmud of his grandfather, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Yisrael Belsky, and he got to know many different people over the years. He learned in all different places, but I never really spoke to him in great length about all these different experiences. But L'mashal, not known to many, he was a Rebbe, he was a high school Rebbe, a Beis Medrash Rebbe, Chappelle's for almost 25 years, where he taught hundreds and hundreds of Talmidim. Randomly, a few months ago, while talking to a Kail guy that I had got to know, it came out, he asked me, did I know Reb David Kamenetsky? So I said, yeah. So he said he was his Rebbe for a few years. He helped him out getting into learning, and he's now a serious Avrich many, many years later, and even married off some children. And he said when Reb David was a person that he always was miayitz with him. I was all of a sudden like, you know, I got a whole different look at the Rav David Kamenetsky that I got to know over the many years, which I'll describe what I got to see. He was always very well put together. I think, he hung out, Kiyodua, for many people in my circles. He was a fixture in the National Library for years and years. He spent many hours a day researching there. And I think many of the Israelis, you saw him there, they got a kick out of this. Very well put together. He looked like a Kail guy. He had his jacket, his tie. You know, in Israel, that's a very not standard type of thing. You know, you walk in with your sandals and no socks. Here he was, very well put together. But at the same time, he's very approachable and not stuck up in any way. It was very interesting to me that almost every person I spoke to in recent time, ever since he was Nifter, and even before, everyone always had such positive things to talk about him. Say, one person, a guy, that Tilumi guy, he said, unbelievable, he never met such a nice person. a Hasidic, very cynical type of person, not prone to giving compliments so easy, who got to know Reb David over the years, says he was such a good-hearted person. He never saw such a person like that. Another Hasidic person that used to see him on a daily basis, he always saw him with a smile. Another person who got to know him, and he was not an academic in any way, he got to know him many years ago through Harnof, so he told me he was such a special person. This guy was like a bacher at that time. Maybe even you could call it, he might have described himself as a little lost. David always made special time to talk to him. He said he had no ears about him. He was so down to earth. And many different people would describe him as such a nice person, and this is Pashut. Now, that alone is a certain type of thing. You know, many times you have a guy that, as we'll see, the amount that he produced that could cause you to become a balgaiva, so to speak, and be hard to be approachable, and etc. And he was just opposite. Many years while he was working in the library, he was also working on, not so many people know, but he worked on for many years, the Arch Kol Shas, involved with the translation, the Pirush, the Hebrew, the English. It's not such a well-known thing. Bottom line is that watching him over the many years, his interaction with all kinds of people of all backgrounds was very bakavadik. It was he carried himself a very bakavadik and not gaivadik way, but he was a true walking kiddush Hashem. He wasn't full of himself, and he was normal at the same time. Now, I would like to talk about things that I saw personally that I got to know in my areas that I knew about. My goal is to describe briefly the vast legacy of his that I left behind and a little bit about him. I have tremendous hakaras hatayif for him. Because, first of all, for all that he wrote, it helped me a lot. And not only did his writing help me, but he himself helped me. My family has a personal connection with him for many years. My great-grandfather, who I'm partially named after, Rabbi Yaakov Eliezer Telem, was a close friend of Rabbi Yaakov already back in Slobodka. They kept up, whether in Litva, eventually in America. And my grandfather, Rabbi Leib Spitz, also at some point in time in America, got to know Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. And I also have Akar Sataiv because of my grandfather, Rabbi Leib Spitz, his connection with Rabbi Chaim Eliezer, which we'll get to shortly. I was zoicha to know Reb David for over 25 years. What I saw in him was he always loved to help. He answered questions. Questions of mine relating to Ligra, his base medrash, Chayyadam, Valajan, anything to do with the Netziv, getting rear svarim, getting manuscripts, going into the manuscript collections in Hebrew University, tracking down different documents that I came across that he also would find of interest, getting pictures, and all sorts of information. And we shared them graciously. But it turns out, not only was he so helpful to me, I've come to learn over the years, he was helpful to so many people. Many Svarim, you'll see, they thank him in the beginning of the Sefer, that he made his rare Svarim and his materials available to them for free. He would help them, he would get them. And it wasn't easy. A lot of these things he had to spend a lot of time getting, which I'll get to shortly. He was known as a collector of Svarim and expert of Svarim. I have no idea when this began, how far back. Did it begin when he was very young, or later on? But for sure, some guiding light was the famous passage that all Sfarim people like to quote. Rabbi Yitzchak Kampanton says, "Ein chachmas adam magas ela ad makam shesfarim magim. Ulechein yimkar adam kol mashiyesh loy v'yiknes svarim. Ki derech mashal mishein loy sefer gemara, i asher liyoy zbaki. V'chein mishein loy sefer yifuv loy achol liyoy zbaki ba. Kol shkein mishein loy." Then he goes on, "Lezer amuzal mar besfarim mar bechachma." Upirish Rashi zal al the kmei lechachaver chaver mamish v'yesh oimrim svarim ki aseifu chaver toiv v'akayir besvarim shulim ubechalve v'hayu chayecha tlum loch mineger mishesh svarim hey mevi meisul lechachma v'das ki chayecha v'ayuch yamecha. So as I love this passage, and many svarim people love this passage, point is it's very important to have svarim, and this is what helps you in your work. So Reb David, not only did he collect svarim as it was relating to his work, he also sat in a library on a daily basis that has the greatest svarim collection, and he was an address for many people all over the world, with people that knew him or some people that didn't even know him, to get materials that are found here, and he did it graciously. Now, he wasn't stam a collector, you know, that just like, okay, bought svarim and never looked at them. He was focused. He was focused in the areas that interested him. For example, siddurim, he, at some point in time, I don't know exactly what sparked it, but he collected a lot of rare siddurim. He used it. He offered it to people that were working on things relating to the siddur. And we'll see an example of what he used his collection of siddurim for shortly. Everything that was relating somehow to Litta from before the Gra and onwards until World War II was fascinating and very important for him, and he was an expert in it, collecting all types of materials relating to it, svarim, documents, pictures, anything. He also was fascinated by the early printings of Prague and Kushta and everything like that, and he went and sought out all the different svarim from these periods of time. This is way, way before Eitzar Chachma, Hebrew books, before everything was available so easily. We're spoiled today. At the click of a button, you have a lot of these svarim online. He used to write to libraries all over the world. Let's say a copy in the National Library was missing a few pages, and he wanted to have a copy. So he would write to libraries to get the missing pages. Sometimes the only copies were in these various libraries out of the country. He would write to them, or when he was in America, he traveled to them to get them, or through private collectors, he would get them. And eventually, when someone would need to republish a sefer, he was an address that became known to get if you're looking for a rare sefer, try to reach out to him. He might be of assistance. And if he had it, he was very happy to assist. There's a famous will called Igros HaMusar from Rabbi Yehuda ibn Tibbon. A fascinating will, which also, again, Sfarim people are fond of the passages in here. And there are certain passages. He says you should collect a lot of Sfarim, basically, so you don't have to borrow. But you should lend. And even have a lot of Sfarim. This is one passage. In a different passage, he says, basically something like your svarim should become your friends, you should take walks in amongst your svarim. But then later on, towards the end of the chibur, he has but make sure that he's going to be able to return it. And he has a whole system, this is talking about this man of the Rishonim, the famous Ibn Tibbon Mishpacha of the famous translators. So he writes, make sure to keep a list of all the svarim where people borrow from you. And Reb David was legendary. He would lend out his svarim, his copies, everything to different people for various needs. Turns out, thinking about this, is all this help that he gave to people, and we'll see even more help that he gave of answering all different types of questions. This is the legacy that can be found by Reb Chaim Volozhiner. In the Nefesh HaChayim, his son, Reb Yitzchak Volozhiner, writes a beautiful Hagdama. In there he says something that Reb Chaim Volozhiner used to always tell him. V'hakoy hayo devarai elai tamen, shezeh, kol adam loy la'atzmai nivra, rak lohoy lachrini, kechol ashe yimtza b'koy chilasais, to help others in what you're able to do. So now, if it's in your area of expertise, so to speak, he amassed this amount of information and materials. He made it available. So he was gracious. He graciously gave it to people. Eventually, so he fully lived up to Reb Chaim Volozhiner, who was one of his greatest heroes, Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon, as we'll get to soon. He fully lived up to this. He became known, I don't know exactly what years, but he becomes known as a expert of old svarim and manuscripts, and he was hired by collectors and auction houses all over to give appraisals and advice and stuff like that. He was all self-taught. A while ago, I did some research and then wrote an article about the auction world, the behind the scenes of what goes on, how these auction houses put together a catalog, what goes in behind, all the different aspects of it, how do you evaluate it, who's consulted, and that. So of course, one of the addresses that I knew that I would have no problem getting information from was Reb David. He graciously gave me a lot of information, behind the scenes information. Now, this expertise of his, besides for helping him a little bit with Parnassa, it helped further his research projects, as he was able to see and get access to rare important Sfarim and documents, which is what his work was based on. Another area interest and eventually became a leading address for anything and everything tied to Lithuanian Jewry. If you're working on something related to it, you were told to reach out to him. And I know I've gotten different emails over the past few years. When Reb Dovid was sick, I emailed Reb Dovid and he didn't answer me. Is everything okay? I'd say, sadly, he's sick, or whatever. But random different people from all over asking him the questions that they had asked, and they were wondering why they hadn't gotten an answer. Now, another thing that he collected also was pictures. And LaMarshall, a few years ago, I had worked on an article all about pictures, Gedolim pictures, and all different aspects. He was so happy to give me materials. And other articles when I needed pictures, he was very happy also to give it to me. And LaMarshall, I had a story. I was working on putting out the book for Rav Eitam Hinken's writings, on a book on the Aruch HaShulchan. So Rav Eitam Hinken, Hashem Yinkam Damai, when we're putting out the book on the Aruch HaShulchan, we wanted a good picture of the Aruch HaShulchan. So I reached out to Reb Dovid. I said, do you have any good, real, authentic pictures of him? He says, sure, he does. He bought the original picture. And he sent me a gorgeous copy of it. And yes, of course, he could use it for the cover. And we did. And it's a beautiful picture. Now, so eventually he becomes, as I said, he's sought after. And everyone reaches out to him. And he helps. He helps in many different fields. And I would just like to mention just some of the ones that I came across over the years. A while back, I was working on the Ramban. A hush of a work came out related to the Ramban, so then I decided to look into collecting all the materials relating to the Ramban. So I was talking to him, somehow I got into a schmooze with him about it. So he told me, yeah, he's working on a project with someone from Schweiz, Rabbi Shua Sternbach, and others, to put out the various works of the Rishonim that were written on the Kabbalah of the Ramban. And he and others are working on this project. And eventually it came out from Meister Cook. The volume is called Pirushei V'chiburei Talmidei HaRashba Al Kabbalas Ramban. A nice fat volume. And Dovid was one of the editors of this volume. That's one work that he was very involved with. Another work from a friend of mine, Dr. Stephen Weiss, Dr. Yosef Shlomo Weiss. So a few years ago, he put out a book called Eitzer Pirkei Avos, which is a bibliography of all the Perushim on Avos that were published from 1485 till 2015. A massive book, a few hundred pages, an in-depth bibliography of everything and everything about all these works. So if you open up the introduction of the book, you'll see he gives thanks to different people that helped him. So in here is a whole long passage about Reb Dovid Kamenetsky. He says, basically, Reb Dovid Kamenetsky, he wants to thank, he says that this thing, this massive project, gorgeous work, would not have been able to come out if not for Reb Dovid Kamenetsky. He went and checked up everything that I collected, Rabbi Weiss's writing, all the different svarim, fixing up the Hebrew. He conducted with him numerous meetings, whether it was through Skype, sending him materials, in constant contact with him, even though there's a huge time difference, giving him advice, and eventually they spent time working on it. And even when they went, he says even a remarkable story, when they went to go deal with the publishing of the book and getting the typesetting, so it seems they had a massive flat tire, and they spent time actually having to fix that tire. But the point was that this Dovid, with his expertise in bibliography that he amassed over the years, was very, very helpful in producing this book too. Another such work, another series of works that I personally love is the Bnei Shnayis Tavadar from Reb Dessler collection, where Dovid is also very involved in this work, getting the materials, helping with the materials, deciphering the materials. That's another valuable work, worth six volumes so far, which Reb Dovid was very involved with. I mentioned his collection, his personal collection of various farm that he collected. So if you look in various svarim from Zichron Aharon, Machon Zichron Aharon, who published hundreds of svarim, they many times you'll see a lot of these rare works. Who do they thank? Rav David Kamenetsky. Havat Shalom, recently I was looking at a beautiful work that they published a few years back. Shtei Yadois from Rav Nachum de Lanzano. They thank him. They thank who? Rav David Kamenetsky for giving them one of a rare work from his collection that was helpful for them. A few years ago, a work came out, the Hagayis of the Ramah on the Mayor Nevuchim. Now, without getting into the whole chiddush of what lies behind this whole discovery and everything, was published for a wedding for Ari Bergman. Rav David was very involved with this project, and basically they discovered glasses of the Ramah on the Mayor Nevuchim, which is a very significant chiddush in the world of understanding the Ramah and his Beis Midrash and his Talmidim. Now, another work that David was very involved with was discovering Chidushi HaBach. Everyone learns Gemara, knows on the side of the Gemara there's the Bach Sagois, whatever that story is. And we know the Bach is one of the most important Chiburim on the Torah. But less known is that a few years back, they discovered, and this is through David, they discovered a few Masechtos, real Torah of his on different Masechtos. It was very helpful for me when I was working on my doctorate. On the Reis HaKelim Shulchan Aruch, I went through some of the materials on Masechta Shabbos, and this helped give further understanding in the greatness of the Bach. And this is all thanks to who? The discovery of Rav David, and how he was able to authenticate and prove that this is from the Bach. Another work that randomly I came across, that he also was responsible for helping, was a three-volume work so far from a Reb Yonason Kolach, called Masters of the Word, which is on Chumash. So I'm reading the Hagdama, and he says like this. He's giving thanks to different people. My thanks to a colleague and friend, Rav David Kamenetsky, who constantly provided me with books and articles from the Hebrew University Library on all the various topics I was researching. He was also an indispensable resource for many questions relating to publishing history, one of his areas of expertise. He also read the entire book, commenting on Ashkafa history, historical accuracy, and language. So here we have yet another project that Rav David was very helpful and gave his knowledge to assist in everything. Okay, you think that that's enough? No, much more. Marshall, in recent years, he discovered the missing volume, pretty much, of the Hafla. His work, Al Torah Panim Yafis, which had gone missing through a whole lot of detective work. Dubba figured out where it was and eventually was published with a Satmar Chassid, volume 6 of the Panim Yafis, a very important addition into the world of the Torah of the Hafla. The significance of this, we'll touch on a little bit soon, but much more to talk about, not now. Recently, a work came out, republishing, someone did a beautiful job, Rabbi Ari Leib Westreich republished the Hameir Le'olam, one of the great Litvish Gedolim, Rabbi Meir Michal Rabinovich. So he republished it into two nice volumes, annotated even. So who did they get to write the Hagdama about the history of this great Litvish Gedolim? Rabbi David Kamenetsky. Now, there's a journal called Tfunot that put out a few different volumes. Again, who not only did Rav David write his own articles, but he also supplied them with different materials. We'll get back to that shortly. Now, I never got around to asking him who inspired him with all this, to get into all this kind of history and the like and the research. But many years ago, when I was young, my grandmother pointed me to a book called Libatim from Rav Chaim Rabinovich, more famous for his Das Sofer on Tanakh. This was a novel that Chaim Rabinovich wrote about life in the yeshiva world, plays a part of this world before World War II. Later on, I ended up reading the book. It was an incredible book based on the advice of my grandmother. And she had pointed out to me then, and I did not appreciate it until I was older, that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky gave a beautiful haskama to this work in 1978. And he says there, he read the book, Rabbi Yaakov says, it's roi to spread this amongst our children. What was going on? The doimani shekvoide hine hayochet shal biyada avi al deisefer hamavet ha-torani al tkufa zeh. Therefore, I feel that this book should get out there. It's a tayelus for our children to read about this. So you see a positive attitude for Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky with Jewish history b'chlal. Now, perhaps it's known that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had a very positive attitude with Jewish history. This is an inyan that's well beyond the scope of today's of Hespin. But Marshal Sarum Nassim Kamenetsky documents this out in his book Making of a Gadol. But for David, the Gra already writes in the Hagdama, in the beginning of Mishlei, he says, it says Mishlei, the first pasuk is Mishlei Shlomo ben David Melech Yisrael. Why does he have to tell me that Shlomo is the ben David Melech Yisrael? Says the Gra, Haloyme b'sefer tzorich lida mi mechabroi, ki am yi ha-mechabra gadol b'chachma, b'vada yi b'sefer chachmas g'dayles. So therefore, there's an inyan to know the name of the author. So now, this for David Avada, once you talk about a Gra, as I mentioned, that's already something else, changes it. Rabbi Yitzchak Kampanton, who I quoted earlier, writes, and this is someone that was the before the Dar of, this is, he had a tremendous impact on the Dar of the Beis Yosef, the Kampanton school, Aderech, Kol Maimer, he says like this, Kol Maimer, when you're learning Gemara, Mestakel, Milo Mimadaber, Milo Ashoyel, Mia Meshev, Mia Maksha, Mia Mataritz, Ramutana, Amayra, and then it helps you understand. Then he says further, Oilam b'chol mefarish ha-mechaber, ashet ayin boi havo mishtadol adas, t'chile darkei ha-mefarish, ha-hu shamoylich b'dvar, v'achar kach havo ayin boi, v'ra imhoylich l'shitasei b'dvar ha-mehin. So we see already here, and there's numerous marmakaymas for the benefit of understanding Jewish history, understanding the different things, and these are things that perhaps help drive Reb David, but I'm sure there's much more to the story which I don't know. Now, up till now, we see him helping, we see him in a light of helping on the different projects he worked on and different svarim that came out and introductions and stuff like that. Okay, that's very nice. It's remarkable, actually. It shows his tremendous midas, but it's not even close to scratching the surface of what he was about. He left behind his own legacy, and I hope to document just a little bit of it to help us appreciate this special gift we had in our midst up till recently. The legacy of the Gra. It's remarkable what he did for the field. When did he exactly start to seriously work on the Gra? I do not know. He writes in his work, Tyrus HaGra, in the introduction, when he's talking, he says that the Gra in his house growing up was always a Vada, was important. Messeris beis abba shlita haisa be beis madrasha shel agra maran Rabbi Yaakov haya chanich yeshivas lita akdaisha shervaisav haya talmid valojin yisoy shorbein Reb Chaim talmud agra and other connections. He says migil rach shmoi shel agra haya shagar alpinu. And then he says nerash hashpa achi gedoyla oylem atayra kula keyoyim yizeh shel agra. So it's pashut why the Gra played such an important role for him. Now, what he did for the Gra is what I hope to just show a little bit about this. Now, this is where Reb David, I would say, became world famous about this. And I would like to point out that his fame and his way the material on this topic started to get out there was pretty much with the perfect timing of the founding of the famous Torah journal, Yeshurun, which is still going on. Around 1996... starts coming out, issues of the Yeshurun, these fat, giant, black volumes found in shuls all over the world. 1996, they published Volume 1. Already, he has an article in this volume, and it's not about the Gra. It doesn't appear in the table of contents. It's relating to some of the Marsha. Already in Volume 2, he's already invited to become part of the editorial board. And Volume 4, in 1998, the Yeshurun starts publishing about the Gra, three volumes which basically put them on the map, according to some people. You say, Avada, that what they did up to them was very impressive, but two things. Sometimes a journal, it takes time. People are not confident that it's continue. Fat volume, who said it's going to continue? Who said they're going to come up with good materials? And once you already hit 4 or 5 already, then already people see, okay, you're going to be around. And then also depending on what the materials you get, if it's interesting. So the Gra in the yeshiva world is very special. So they got unique materials for the Gra, but not only for one volume, they again, then they followed up with 2 more volumes of the Gra, and then a lot of times they had some materials of the Gra. But volumes 4, 5, and 6 became legendary volumes about the Gra. And who was one of the people that published a lot of materials already relating to the Beis Medrash of the Gra stuff there already was Reb David Kamenetsky. In 2004, in volume 14, he begins a series of articles of his on the Kisvei Yad of works that are a tribute that we have in the handwriting of the Gra, dealing with each one at length. And this was a series that he kept for a few different issues over the Yeshuans. But many issues over the years, he had multiple articles. In my mind, it was a win-win relationship for both him and the journal. Personally, I think that helped get the Gra out there in a kosher academic way. Because here you have this journal which has Torah from the G'dayli Rosh Hashivas and the G'dayli Olam and the G'daylim of the previous generations. At the same time, there was historical articles written by people like Radava Kamenetsky about all these type of topics, and it helped. So it was sort of a win-win situation. Now, as I have personally spent the past bunch of years researching the world of the Gra and have benefited greatly from Reb David's work in this area, and I've spoken to him a lot about it over the years, so I feel it's worth to mention and highlight some of these things. It's more for me, but just to mention some of these articles, many volumes of Yeshurun are available for free on Hebrew Books, also on Eitzah Chochma, but a lot of the articles are available on Reb David's academia page, in PDF form, which were curated by my good friend Menachem Butler over the years, a bunch of his articles over there, but they're not all the articles. And I don't know if anyone knows all the articles of Reb David. I don't know if he really kept track of all the articles he wrote out there. Now, to begin, when you talk about the Gra, so we have to understand as follows. Lamashal, Reb Avram ben Agra, this Talmud, a person who Reb David spent a lot of time helping bring further the story of Reb Avram ben Agra, as I'll mention. But so he talks about his father in different places, and he says like this. He says, Lamad Mikra Mishnah, Halachis, Agadis, Safra, Sefer Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Toseftas Kol HaBrayis, Achei Mishnah Stur Bepiv, V'Kol Kaitz V'Kaitz, Tli Tliim Halachis Sturis Al Seidah Mikra. Then he says he was Nasan Nafsha called Diktuk Vediktuk Mamari Razal. Then it's known he would Lasur Tois Atfus Vasifrim Shanafel Besafra Sifrei Tosefta Perkeder Belez Yerushalmi Tamu Bavli Seder Olam. He also was involved with Dever Zayat Tikunim, many other works, and Maisa Bereshis Maisa Merkava. So at first glance, you might say, yeah, okay, but ad kidei kach, this sounds like an exaggeration. How many works? How much? Now, already, at some point in time after the Ptir of the Gra, a work came out, Elias Elio, with the assistance of Gedolim before him, such as the Radal and others, where they mapped out what was known to be the writing of the Gra, and it was literally on every area of Torah. He left behind something on every area. But over time, where all the works are, what happened with them, is it authentic? People sometimes claim certain things might be the grower, and it's not. Just as famous, just as an example, there's a Sefer Kol Elio, which has a lot of arts that the Olam says over on Chumash from the Gra. And at a certain point in time, people felt there's certain materials here that it's not the Gra. So it became a thing to try to figure out what is authentic Gra. So after the Elias Elio, in more relative recent years, there was the great Reb Tzal Landau, also put out a very thorough book on the Gra. And then we also have to mention Rishaya Vinograd, who put out a massive bibliography of the printing materials of the Gra. We see all of a sudden the Gra wrote on literally everything. But it was a mess. And so Reb David set out to map out what's known today with everything there is out there on the Gra. He went to private collections, whatever he was able to get his hands on, to be in a very thorough like a detective, tracking down everything and to see what the story with each and every item is. Let's say certain works, it could be multiple kisfiyat. Who's the writer of this? Is it from a Talmud? Is it from, is it late? Is it early? Is it all different things he decided to set out to deal with? He wasn't trying to write a new book telling you here, the Gra was born here, he learned by this, and he did this, and did this. That wasn't his goal. His goal was to the Tyrus HaGra to basically update and deal with the list that the Radal and others had created, and to discuss everything based on what we know today. Now, he was beyond successful, and as I said, many of these articles that he published of his research, he published in the Yeshurun over the years. And part of the reason why I think he was so successful was he realized, and he writes this in his Akdamot Tayris HaGra, Shanam Rabbi Samalti Lachis Bekatsei HaChut Shal Galus Rabbeinu. And he says, Ashalai Zachiti Lerois Oymik Dvar V'Lamina Galusa B'chol Davar. I was not able to be Oymik on his greatness, but I was able to be Zaycha to stand at the end and look from far to see how far it is, that it's a Mayim Shalom Saif. Yev Shal Lerois HaSaif. But I was able to zachiti shekama tipen nafli b'chazdei Hashem. And he says, as galus harabein agroi yadaver bilti efshari l'anashim b'nei yamein l'tayer. It's impossible to understand, but at least you could see, you get some glimpse. And after you read through this work and the materials and the articles of him, you see, it's mind-boggling what he wrote about and what he learned and how he mastered every area of Torah. Now, but he, at the same time, Reb David went into this also, that he's going to spend X amount of time on it, but he spent years. But he's not going in with the thing, okay, I'm going to come and I'm going to figure out everything, and after what I do, there's not going to be anything left that needs to be done. This is Lahavdil, once a few years ago, there was a series of, right before Corona, in Eretz Yisrael, there was different places that had different conferences relating to the Gra. So at one of the conferences, I overheard someone saying to someone else, some academic saying to another person, what's there ready to be mechadish about the Gra? And it hasn't been said because, you know, there was an academic conference of a bunch of materials 20 years before. Whatever there is to say about the Gra, we were mechadish. And I was laughing because I, who had been at that time already spent a few years working on the Gra, realized, as David also realized, he didn't scratch the surface of understanding the Gra. They have a few different points, a few different articles, a few different things. Some of them are very valuable and useful, but they have not scratched the surface in understanding this person and what he did and what he was all about. And Reb David single-handedly spent a crazy amount of time carefully going through, checking everything, the stories of whether it was Nigla, whether it's Nister, whatever he was able to get his hands on to see what it is from the Gra. And the details, mind-boggling amount of details. He became a master in handwritings, figuring out who, if it's this Talmud of the Gra's handwriting, this Talmud, this person who became known as a transcriber of materials of the Gra. Where did he get all these skills? I have no idea. But he picked this up over time, and he wrote, as I said, many of these articles were published in Yeshurun, and then at a certain point in time, he collected them and put this into Torah Segra. Now, I'm going to give just briefly some specific examples of what he did in his research. Lamashal, a more famous work for us regular people about the Gra is, there's a work called the Maisa Rav. Everyone learns Mishnah Berurah today, and you see all the Anhagas of the Gra, and Ariyoyim, this work is a mystery. What is the story behind this work? So one of the people that spent a lot of time on this work was Reb David. And he was able to figure out that the real author was not the author who people thought was Reb Yisachar Ber, but was rather one of the earliest real Talmidim of the Gra, Reb Sadia. Reb Sadia is one of the few Talmidim that the children of the Gra call the Talmidim of the Gra. And this Reb Sadia was Eichet Meshamish the Gra. So Reb David was able to prove the relationship, what he had, that he originally was the one who wrote a list of the different Hanhagais of the Vilna Gaon and collected it. And this was what became the basis later on for the Maisa Rav, which he added on materials, stuff that he saw and other materials, without getting into all the details. But Bekitzer, in this massive article when it came out, was first, he dealt with collecting all the materials about Reb Sadia Bechlal, about this Reb Yisachar Ber, much more than what was known, figuring out, going on about the greatness of him also. Incredible, incredible article. But then, he made a remarkable discovery. He found, actually, pages of the draft of this Ripsadia's Maisa Raf. And when you look at it and you compare it, you could see certain things that never made into the Maisa Raf, and there's difference in Lashinus, and the incredible, incredible stuff going on there. He publishes this, just to give one example, because I find sometimes, you know, you talk about something and you don't give an example, it makes it harder to grasp. So, in 1921, Yitzhak Rifkin, he described a strange minig that he saw when he was learning Volozhin. This is the Volozhin that was reopened and headed by Rafael Shapiro. That they would open the Aron when saying Aleinu, and they would bow, this is in Simchas Torah, they would bow with the same niggin reserved for the Musaf of Yom Kippur, and they would bow on the floor exactly like they did on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which was mamish completely. So he asked about it. Where's the source for this minig? He was told it comes from the Gra. He went to visit, when he was visiting Vilna, he found out that the only place that does this minig, which is on Simchas Torah, they would open up the Aron in the middle of the dancing and do this Aleinu and bow, was in the Gra's Klois. He saw it nowhere else in Vilna. Later on, Rav Meir Bar Ilan publishes memoirs on Yiddish, and he also describes the great Simcha Volozhin who was Torah. And he also would describe such a thing that we find that Rifkin described that he saw in the Volozhin of Rav Rafael Shapiro. But Lamaisa, you look in the Maisa Rav, there were other people that collect Grum and Hagen, it's not mentioned what's going on. Fast forward, Rav David Kamenetsky, in this work that he publishes of this manuscript that has which is really the father of the Maisa Rav, so to speak, one could see exactly there it has this meaning. So Bekitzer, this work that he discovered is very helpful in understanding. First, we got some new materials of the Gra, Hanhagas of the Gra. It gives a huge understanding behind the work of the Maisa Rav. And this, Rav David wrote a lot about, very important information. And this is a subject that still has to be worked on and is currently being worked on. Rav David, so to speak, gave over the reins about this and spent a lot of time talking about it with a close friend of mine, Rabbi Shui Yankelowitz, who has been working on the materials, building off of David's work and David's manuscript collection of this and materials that he had. And we'll get to that soon. Another article, famous topic people always ask, what's the Nusach of the Gra and Davening? So David, I mentioned earlier, he collected rare Siddurim. So he used his rare Siddurim collection to use it to put in frame, to deal with the various, quote-unquote, Nuschais of the Gra. What's he trying to do? And his Mechadish, that the Gra was not trying to revolutionize Tefillah at all. And in a beautiful, clear article published first in Yeshua and then later on in his Torah Sagra, he explains what the Gra was trying to do, what's called the Nusach of Tefillah. And it's not that he's coming to take out all different types of things and how people say over different things in his name. Another article of his, which is also very important, is the Gra and his Yachas to the Arizal. This is a polemical article. It's truthfully a response to others who claim different things, that the Gra was anti the Arizal Chas v'Shalom and stuff like that. And Lamaisa, this is an aspect in Reb David's writings that I'm not going into, his polemics that he had with different people. And why he had those polemics is that he just believed very strongly in, he was a real strong Litvak, ready for many generations, and he believed he was out there to defend the Litvish Messiah. I'm not here to discuss anything more about that right now, maybe a different time. And Lamashal, he also deals with, in this article, the Yachas of the Gra to Kavanas. You know, Kavanas Arizal, who should be davening with these Kavanas, the Hamoinam even, and Avadanat the Gra held. And he deals with this. Another bunch of materials of his deals with the Mishpacha of the Gra. I mentioned Rav Ram. So he published a lot of material for the first time, Rav Ram ben Agra. He gave me some of the materials which I am working on currently to publish of Rav Ram ben Agra. He was very helpful with that. Rav Yaakov, the son of Rav Ram, also he publishes manuscript materials of his. He published notes of Rav Ram ben Agra on the Gemara Brachas and some other Masechtas that he got a hold of. I even had the schus, one of the last times I visited Rav David when he was still active. So someone had consulted with him that he wanted to show him. They found the Gemara of the Gra, of Rav Avraham ben Agra, another Masechta that was not known at the time. They wanted him to authenticate that it's Taka, the Rav Avraham ben Agra's handwriting. And so I had this chus of seeing and holding in my hand some this Rebbe Avraham Ben Agra, a volume of his. Obviously, I couldn't afford it. It went up on auction. Sad story many times that these priceless items get, they don't even make it to, you don't even know who buys it, where they're being held captive, the way I look at it. But Tayrus Hagra is out there in different hands of private collectors, and this is one such story. But at least I saw a Haga, where even I think he even brought down something from his father in this Haga, but there are other materials of his from his father in this volume and other volumes that have disappeared in different collections. So Bekitzer of David published materials relating to Nach and Gemara, Yerushalmi, the Bir Hagra, everything. He worked on dealing with the people associated with the Beis Medrash Lagra. There was an article he was very proud of. There's a lot of bilbo. A lot of times this happens is there could be someone with a similar name. And then historians, they sort of get mixed up. They think it's this Reb Chaim, it's that Reb Chaim, it's that. So there's a few different Reb Chaims associated with the Gra. Reb David made Meir de Kaseder. He's very proud of this article, of the different Reb Chaims that were associated with the Gra, clearly documenting who was what. And he has numerous other articles. Time does not allow to go through all of them. Just throughout his materials, there's a lot about Rishrael Shklover, Mendel Mishklov. Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Avada, he has fascinating material with that. There's a remarkable work, similar in a way to the Ma'aser Rav, has different names. One name is the Keser Roish, one name is Arches Chaim. But these are materials of questions that people asked Reb Chaim Volozhiner. There's a whole discussion, the Mashal who wrote this. There's many different manuscripts of this. So Reb David wrote an article, key article, trying to figure out who wrote this. A few years ago, a fancy two fat volumes came out from Machon Yerushalayim, annotated, excellent edition. Avada, who do they give Akaris HaTayv in the front for helping them a lot? Reb David. A few years later, they discover yet another Chanusach. It's published in the Meiria with new Hagais, new Hanhagas, and materials from Rechaim Volozhiner, from the great Rabbi Yisrael Heller, brother of the Amud Yar, who gave them this material, again, Reb David Kamenetsky. But Kitzer, his name comes up again and again with what he did for the world of the Gra. He publishes a hesped that Reb Yitzchak Volozhiner gave on Reb Akiva Eiger, continuing with this legacy. So you think, okay, how much more could there be? But the story doesn't even come close to an end, just to mention briefly. Reb Pinchas, the Magen Mipletzk, who was zeichet, he says himself he was zeichet to be meshamish the Gra. So Reb David goes ahead and publishes two volumes of materials of this great Yid. His Tzava, a work of his Keser Torah, which is a predates Reb Chaim Volozhiner's Nefesh HaChaim, a very important work documenting Litvish Hashitas, Stamas influencing from the Gra. His work on Kehelis, his work on Tehillim, he discovers manuscripts of this and goes back and publishes these incredible works. Pshat oriented sefer, so he publishes two masses farm of this Reb Pinchas Mipletzk. He publishes an article about Reb Rafael Hamburger and his Yachas with the Gra. And then another Yid, which Reb David spent a lot of time, which for me personally was incredible, was Reb Menashe Milya. Reb Menashe Milya was a Yid that was zeichet to also be close to the Gra. He writes unbelievable about the Gra in a few different places. So David early on wrote an article about him, and there's been a lot of discussion in different circles about him, what type of person he was. This is not the place to talk all about him, but David already wrote earlier about him. And one of the things that in Yeshurun, including finding some lost materials of his. And David always had a dream to publish all his materials in a nice fat volume. For many years, I used to always bother him. Is the volume ever going to come out? And eventually it did. Even while he was sick, already after he knew that his clock was ticking, Maisa, he got out this volume of Reb Menashe Milya. It was a great simcha for me. I kept on bothering about it. And when it came out, he right away drove it over to my wife. So I was able to have it right away. Tremendous, tremendous simcha, this incredible volume to have all the materials of Reb Menashe Milya in here. Now, Reb David over here in this volume makes his business. He does not publish all his work about Reb Menashe Milya, but he does publish one thing that bothered him greatly, which was the misrepresentation of his by Yid Reb Flungen. It's his own story who this Yid was. But what's fascinating is that I came across many years ago that David writes, or Matis Yos Tarshon, who was Eicha to know Reb Menashe Milya, was upset, and it seems he wrote under a pen name in a newspaper article in a Magid against Flungen. Now, turns out he was friends with Flungen. We have today a copy of Flungen's Svarim that he inscribed and gave as a present to Matis Yos. So Matis Yos was not too happy with how he writes about Reb Menashe Milya. And he wrote a macha about it in the newspaper in Magid under a pen name. So I one day go to look up the article in the newspaper. Lo and behold, it's bolted out. You can't see this macha over Matisero Strashon. It means some kanoi for the covet of Flungin went and bolted this out, and we don't know what Matisero said. So I asked Rav David, do you have a copy of this original newspaper? A few minutes later, I get an email with the uncensored version, and we get to see Matisyo's attack on Flungin. Anyway, it's just one of the cute stories with Rav David about all the materials he amassed. Rabbi Fol Hamburger mentioned another Yid that Rav David spent a lot of time researching way early on, and his relationship also tying it to the Gra, Beis Midrash the Gra, and Bechal with Litta, is Rav Shlomo Dubnov, and this is a fascinating story, what Rav David discovered and what he wrote in a series, three-part series in Yeshurins in the earlier volumes. I remember one day, way, way back, over 20 years ago, in Hebrew University, some non-Frum academic came in looking for some material about Rav Shlomo Dubnov, and I told him, oh, if you look in Yeshurin here and here, there's a fellow in the library, Rabbi David Kamenetsky, he did a lot of research on it, and you could probably gain a lot of information from it. I think he went to check it up. Anyway, point is, fascinating material what Rav David does with this information, and basically shows that he kashers him, so to speak, because Kiyadur Rav Shlomo Dubnov was associated for a period of time with Mendelssohn. He's the author of pretty much most of the Mendelssohn Bir on Bereishis, but in the end he ends up getting to Vilna and other places, and many different people, chashuva people, gave a tremendous haskamas to him, and it's a whole fascinating story which Rav David writes in the series of these three articles. So I'm sure the Olam Elyon, Rav Shlomo Dubnov is very happy meeting Rav David after he's finishing up with the Gra and all the other different people meeting him there. Another person that Rav David got into, Derech Agav, and this ended up becoming, spending a lot of time with him, was the Hafla. So what's interesting is, because in the world at large, is an association that Hafla is this Hasidish Yid, and Rav David wrote a beautiful article about it in the Yerushasenu Journal, and it seems it sparked great controversy, which sometimes some materials of Rav David caused. It's the rumor on the street was that certain Hasiduses, the rabbis, were very upset about this article, and they even hired someone to try to refute what Rav David wrote and was published in a different journal. Personally, I don't think the person did a good job. I tried to go into this topic without any bias, and I feel mamish that Rav David is 100% right and what his conclusions are. It's a fascinating discussion, but not for now. A little bit I spoke about when I gave a shiur about the Hafla. Avada, I made sure to speak to Rav David about it, but at that time, he also caused him to locate and publish, eventually arrange the publication of the lost work of the Panim Yafis. He said the Panim Yafis Altar was missing certain materials, and he located it and made sure it was published, the great schus. And then, not only that, in Shurin, he published, in one or two issues, many materials from the Pinkasim of Frankfurt, with materials of the Hafla. And it was fascinating is that the rumors that we, the raid that we got back from Rav Zalman Lechemi, was very, very excited by these materials of the Pinkasim of the Hafla. He felt it was very important. So here we have Nacha, a project that was through his work with the Gra, that that's how it started, but he got very into the Hafla. He spent a lot of time on it, and he ends up discovering Kedarka B'Kodesh, new materials, publishing, making sure it gets published, not to remain lost, etc., etc. And we could go on and on with different other articles of his in the Yeshurin. Just to mention briefly, there's a Yid Reb Elezer Charlap, a tremendous great Yid. Reb David publishes a very important letter that he wrote to Reb Simcha Bonomi Peshischa in Yeshurin Chavav. It's his own story. The Ar HaYoim, which is the nephew of Reb Yisrael Salanter, Reb Ari Leib Lipkin. So Reb David publishes various manuscripts, important manuscripts, an article about him in one of the volumes of Yeshurin. And a volume Yeshurin which I spent a long, long time on and wrote Ha'aris on it in the following issue of Yeshurin was Reb David published the Dikduke Seifrim's notes on the Shem HaGdolim, an incredible bibliographical find of Reb David's. He published it in Yeshurin, and also an incredible work, again, in Yeshurin. So going back to the Gra, David spent a long time researching him, tracking down everything, and eventually in 2000, I believe it was in 2018. He goes ahead and prints a massive volume called Torah Sagra, 740 pages. Now, he did not publish in here for some reason. I asked him, he never gave me a clear answer. All his materials that he had on the Gra found in the Yeshurun, a lot. He writes in Akdama that he corrects a lot of it based on some new information. But without this book, anyone who's being chayker, looking into Essence of the Gra, you can't get anywhere. This is the start of the world of the Gra. Very, very important, the information here. Sadly, there's only a partial mafteach in this book, and it really needs a proper mafteach. And, okay, now, but his work does not finish with the Gra. So what I'm trying to say is this man left behind a crazy, crazy legacy. And I'm not even close to the finish, but because the hour is late, and I don't want to go on over here, even though I'm only talking to myself, but in case someone does listen, so it shouldn't be forever, just to mention a few more things. He publishes whole manuscripts of the Gra. L'mashal, Hadras Kodesh by Meisir of Kook, Abir HaGra on the Agadah Masechtas Brachos. I mentioned already Ramash Amilia and the volumes of Reb Pinchas in Pletzk. So those are whole volumes of material that he's publishing, but that's not enough. At some point in time, he formed this Machon with others, with a Reb Martin called Machon Perk Eliezer, and so Torah Sagra was also published under that umbrella, and other Sfarim of theirs were published under this umbrella. So a different work is Shvil HaYashar. One of the Gedolim in Vilna in the time of the Gra, his name was Reb Shaul Shishkas, so he wrote a work on the Rif. The Rif, David also wrote about this, documenting this already with Rabbi Yisachar Ber, the author of Ma'aser Rav, was a chibur that in the Beis Medrash of the Gra was very important. So he wrote a massive work on the Rif. Only one volume was published in his lifetime. The rest remained in manuscript. So Rav David and his Machon, they went ahead and they published all the three volumes. These materials are Rizal and Velazhin here. Not that much, but a little bit. And they even got a hold of the Radal seems wrote Ha'aris on this, a manuscript. And this also was published and includes Avada, an introduction about this author from Rav David. So the common theme over here is that Rav David just keeps on publishing and publishing and publishing. I have no idea how he did this. He was a father to many children. He was a Rebbe. He needed to make parnasa, but he somehow plugged away and did this. Obviously, his wife gets tremendous hakaras hatayif because she allowed him to spend a lot of the time in the library. But still, it's just when I'm trying to wrap my brains around it, I don't understand how he was able to do this. But the story does not end. Just what the Gra to end is, a work comes out from Meisr Kook called Rapiske HaGra on Shabbos. Incredible, incredible work. This work is done by Rabbi Yaakov Trivitz, who is a relative of Rabbi David, very close with Rabbi David, and Rabbi David also helps with this work, I think, in the financially and also helping with his materials. And it continues as a work comes out, Shleim Mishnasai, from the great Rabbi Israel Rakovsky. So the Shleim Mishnasai was published way, way back. On Masechtas Brachos, an incredible work dealing with the Diyukim and Rashi. It turns out that they found, the whole story is mapped out in the book, but they found a whole manuscript of his on Gantz Masechtas Shabbos. A beautiful work. Obviously, we're talking about a great Litvish Gadol. There's going to be ties to Lit over here. So they put this Rav Trivitz again with Rav David. Trivitz does the publication of the work of putting together this massive work, almost 800 pages or maybe more, on thorough Sefer on Masechta Shabbos. Yet another work from his material. So it's like the gift that keeps on giving. Now, I have no idea how one person was able to do this. I don't have any answers. Okay, one answer I could always say is Hashbaz HaKulmas. He had the concept of Hashbaz HaKulmas, something I wrote a lot about, which is automatic writing, Api Kabbalah. Maybe he knew this, and that's how he was able to do it. Okay, Chesnish. Okay, so Ad Kan, you'll say it's enough, but not even close. What David became famous in more recent years is a whole different project. Again, it's associated with the city of Vilna and the world of Lita, but it's later on, and that's Reb Chaim Leizer. At some point in time, again, I did not track the dates, but Reb David shifts his focus to Reb Chaim Leizer, starts researching Reb Chaim Leizer. Now, what sparked it is different things that he said, why it sparked him, personal connections, and that's, personally, I always had a Akar Satay for this area, because my grandfather, Rabbi Leib Spitz, was zeichet to have a close relationship before World War II, in the years that he spent in Vilna with Reb Chaim Eiser. So to me, Reb Chaim Eiser always was this special. I always had heard about that. He's like everyone heard about that. He was the Gadol HaDar before World War II, but you want to hear more about other than a sentence or two or whatever you read. So Reb David set out to discuss this and map this out out of Seif by going, using the skills that he picked up over the years and honed and perfected of research and detective work and traveling and hookups and documents and translating letters in Yiddish and Hebrew and reading through hundreds of newspapers and archives, going everywhere. December 2020, the first volume comes out. It's a 680-page work. It was supposed to be three volumes. Amaisa, a few months ago, volume two came out, 720 pages. Now, Reb Chaim Eiser was the main address for everything kosher to Litvish Jewry before World War II, whether it was big or small. I said there was a book launch for Reb David's book, volume two, a few months ago. So I said, I quoted from Reb Chaim Stein in his diary of his wartime experiences. He said, when the Reb Chaim Eiser was nifter, ki asan gadol b'chazreinu, when he was describing the levaya, asan gadol b'chazreinu regashnu kulanu, ki mamish ki yisayim nesharnu ve'inav. We were mamish orphans. Now, it's definitely true Reb Chaim Eiser's name has not been forgotten, but his exact legacy of what he did in the Shitas has been, and Reb David set out to remedy this. It could only be described as a labor of love. He wanted to go through all the parishes of European Jewry, especially Lita, of over 50 years and document all the stories with these crazy appendixes with everything. In the introduction to Volume 1, he writes, Niskabsu tachas yadi asaris alfei mechtavim mismachim mamarim kisveis v'sfar makshum rabbeinu. You turn a few pages in this book, you see he's not exaggerating. The amount of archives. I have no idea. This alone could have been a lifetime of work. At one point in Volume 2, he says that he had to check over 100,000 documents to piece together the story of the Vali Yeshivas and Reb Chaim Eiser's involvement. He goes through the newspaper Das Wort, hundreds of issues, to figure out the stories from there. Now, all this wealth of material can help one learn about and dive deeper into the history of European Jewry before the war. So, just to mention, a few different akudas with this. Number one is, a few months ago, I was looking into a certain Rav that was kashur to Vilna in the time of Chaim Eiser. So I asked this Rav, this person, about this after speaking to Rav David about it a while ago, but so I said, do you have any information about this Rav? So what does he send me? This academic, expert of Vilna, he says, look in Rabbi Kamenetsky's book, Rabbi Chaim Eiser, page this and this. So it became already an address for anything about Vilna. In these times, you could look over there and you'll get there. So I just want to say a few ha'aris, and this is what we'll conclude with, relating to this book of Rabbi Chaim Eiser and Rabbi David, his work about Rabbi Chaim Eiser. There's two stories, I already said them over in the book launch, but I feel that they're important to say over. One is, just to show the labor of love of in the details. It came out that I came across a passage. There was a Chashav Yid, Ramosha Schmuckler, who was born in Valazhin, and he actually was there when the Valazhin closed, and he watched an Atziv crying at the closing of Valazhin, and he wrote it down, and it's been quoted in the various works on Valazhin. But Kitzer, this Yid went and wanted to write a book about Chaim Valazhin. One of the first works, strange thing, over 100 years after, close to 100 years of Chaim Valazhin was nifter, there was no real work on him, so he wanted to write a book about him. So he goes to Vilna, spends time there in the Strasholm Library, and Avada, he goes in to speak to Reb Chaim Eiser. Reb Chaim Eiser always encouraged Yeshiva Light to come and speak to him, and he heard about him. They said, Reb Chaim Eiser is unbelievable baki. So he wanted to test him. So he said, you know what? Next time I go to Strasholm Library, he's going to order up a weird tshuva sefer. He does that. He comes in to Reb Chaim Eiser next time, talking and learning. He says to Reb Chaim Eiser, what about this and this shaila? Reb Chaim Eiser says, oh, it's that tshuva, this tshuva sefer that he ordered up. So he says, no exaggeration, that Reb Chaim Eiser's knowledge was incredible. So the shaila that I had was, when did Reb Chaim Eiser visit the Strasholm Library, etc., etc. So in speaking to Reb David says, he used to borrow books from the library, and he would, Reb Chaim Lunsky, no one else was allowed to take books out of the library, but he would allow for Reb Chaim Eiser, and David had a bunch of letters, which he was happy to share with me, of books that he ordered from the Strasholm Library, and he got from Lunsky that he had these letters of from Linsky, and so this was, and this buried in the book in volume one. He publishes one or two such letters, but this is like a one of millions of details buried somewhere in there that are in the book, and Radov was holding every single thing about Reb Chaim Moser. Now, the book is not like this book. You're going to sit down after the chalent and you want to read. Reb Chaim Moser was born this and he's that, and he was a good boy in yeshiva. Wasn't he a good boy in yeshiva? Was he the top guy in Volozhin or that? That's not at all. It's in-depth, mamish, a heavy book, requires a lot of patience to read it. Full of details of research everywhere you see. I'm going to map it out in 1 second, just one example. And then I had one other story relating to this was about his materials. Bechlal, I mentioned he has obsessed with pictures, so the book is Bechlal full of gorgeous pictures from his collections that he had. So one time, while working on the study of newspapers, I came across, someone told me that Rav Ruderman said, a Talmud of Rav Ruderman told me that he used to watch Reb Chaim Moser reading the newspaper every day. So I mentioned this to Reb David. He whips out, he shows me, come to my computer, and he shows me a whole folder of different pictures of Reb Chaim Moser reading newspapers. And now we know that, of course, Reb Chaim Moser read newspapers. He had to. He was involved with all the various Yiddish newspapers of the goings-on in Litva. But anyway, he had a bunch of gorgeous pictures of Reb Chaim Moser with the newspapers. Some of them are actually in the book now. Now, so just two, three last points about this Nakud. And it's as follows. Number one is, I heard a vart from a friend of mine, Benji Ginsberg. He said that the Rishonim point out there's a problem in the Psukim about Avram. One place it says Avram refers to Hashem as Elkei HaShamayim. Elsewhere he refers to as it says he refers to Hashem as Elkei HaShamayim VeElkei HaAretz. So Rashi explains that Avram before Avram began his career of spreading monotheism, Hashem was basically only in Shemayim. No one spoke about Hashem. But after many, many years of Avram's work, people everywhere were talking about Hashem. So Hashem became, in a sense, also Elokei HaAretz as well. Rashi writes, now he is Elokei HaAretz, because I have familiarized him in the mouth of people. I have put people in the habit of mentioning his name. Lahavdol, I feel Reb David felt that this is what has to happen to Reb Chaim Moser. We have to put him back on the map, so to speak. He was the gadol in everything, in learning, in everything before World War II, and he was the manig, and this is what Reb David helped to accomplish with these volumes of his work on Reb Chaim Moser. And now, just to give one example from all this, and this is a little bit of a in-depth discussion, just it's a two-minute example of what Reb David did in this work. He's a tremendous, tremendous Gaon, who was known as the Maggid of Vilna, and his name was Reb Menachem Karkowski. I was always very fond of this Reb Menachem Karkowski because of incredible work of his on Rambam called Avodas HaMelech, published on by Meister of Kuk a bunch of years ago. I love this work. It's on Rambam Mada. And I believe it's still available. It was reprinted a few times. Okay, now, so he was in Vilna, the Maggid of Vilna. He was a great speaker. Okay, Shailos, what's his story? So I always was very interested about him. So a few years back, in Tvunois, comes out an issue with Reb David and writes his whole story. And not only is his story, is Yachzer Reb Chaim Moser and more materials. And this comes out in the book with updates, etc. It's a whole chapter in Volume 2. And from here, you get a glimpse of what he was trying to do. First, he says, okay, I mentioned about, so he first he discusses, because it wasn't so pashut, that some people wanted him to become the Maggid of Vilna, and others were against it. So this is happening in the times of Reb Chaim Moser, so Reb David deals with that. Then he wants to know, so he starts backwards. Who is this? What do we know about this Reb Menachem? So he tracks down a letter from a great Litvish Gaon, Reb Meir Robinson, who was a sort of a Rebbe to Reb Menachem Karkowski. And he writes in the footnote over here, he found this in notebook number 27 of many notebooks that are found in Hebrew University collection of this Reb Meir. And in there is a whole letter where he discusses Reb Menachem Karkowski to Reb Menachem Karkowski's son after he was Nifter. Gevaldika letter, because we get a glimpse in Volozhin. He describes a visit to Volozhin because he's a Ish Volozhin. He's a Talmud of Reb Chaim and the Netziv in Volozhin. and describes a whole visit that he of his own, this Robinson, of when he visited Valajin and gave a shiur there and what he said there, and what the learning of Amos, etc. Fascinating thing, and he talks about the greatness of this Menachem Karkowski. So here you see again this concept I'm trying to bring out, the crazy research buried in some notebook, how he found it, I have no idea. And he publishes it over here, the whole letter. This gives you a glimpse of who this Karkowski is. And then he publishes all different things relating to going on to Vilna from all the newspapers, and certain documents are in Yiddish, some documents that are in the Hebrew University, some he got from who knows how. He got them, publishes them all in here to tell a fascinating story about this great Goyin and relationship with Vilna, about him, the relationship with Chaim Meiser. He publishes a fascinating letter with Rabbi Zal Meltzer, how he wants to go to Eretz Yisrael. All this, never published before. Buried in this book, a whole chapter on Chaim Meiser, because to discuss the Yachas of Chaim Meiser with him. Now, then he deals with a famous question, was this Menachem Karkowski affiliated with Mizrahi or not? Also a very interesting discussion, he talks a little bit about this. And then he has a massive article which Rav Karkowski wrote about, so all this is documents and letters and all different things. Pages of material, as I said, translated also from Yiddish. He has a whole description of his Levaya, what went on there, who gave the Espedim. And along the way, you're getting to see Rav Nachman Karkowski with the Chafetz Chaim, or Chaim Meiser in the yeshiva world. And then he ends off this, towards the end of this chapter, he has a whole maimer on the purpose and the importance of setting up that Agudas Yisrael. So now you understand what's going on. And that's why it answers a kasha that I had. Reb Chaim Meiser was not so pro writing history. So it's interesting, Reb David set out to write about history, dafka with Reb Chaim Meiser. The answer is, there's a lot to say about that, but Bekitzer, what I saw in this chapter alone is, it's not so much history, okay, he was born, he died, this, that. No. All of a sudden, when you read this article of what the importance of that Gudda that Menachem Karkowski wrote, this is a whole different thing. It's giving you yeda and understanding the Gedolim and what's going on. And it's in some form of Torah. I'm not saying it's the same as learning Blad and Baba Basra, but it's a very important to understand the Tkufa and the life. These Gedolim, they wrote about it. It was important. These were not Gedolim that were Isaac and Bittel Torah Chas V'Shalom. So David held Keshita of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and many others, this is important to transcribe and to teach our generation. And this is what he was trying to do in the book. So it's not a light reading book. It's a book with all these documentation, all these materials. So then, to conclude this chapter, he goes back and says, okay, but who is this Roy Robinson? So he has 3 pages about him, fascinating material. So you see, this book is sort of like an encyclopedia on Litta, with Reb Chaim Meiser being the main hero. And this is what he does throughout the book with all the different chapters, all the different things, all the different poems, and you get to see Europe, what was going on in these times before World War II. It's an incredible, incredible window to that period of time based on, as I said, research of thousands of documents. When I first heard that Rodova was sick, I was so hard for me because I felt so bad. He had so much material to release. What will be? He somehow managed, even when he was sick, to release the book I mentioned, Menashe Milyo, Volume 2 of Chaim Meiser came out. Looking back, at least I have to be thankful for what he did publish. It's remarkable. As I was preparing this and just thinking about it, and there's much, much more to say, but the time, it's already well over a long period of time, talking too much. It's remarkable what this man was able to accomplish, and we have to learn from him, not to waste time, to try to do whatever you could do. And I feel one of the lessons, besides that he was such a great person and he was humble and he was free, giving away freely so much information, not worrying about, oh, I have this scoop and oh no, he gave it away with happily. I would like to conclude with this: is that another nakud I feel is, and this looking back over here is that he also, when he worked on the Gra, it was not with the thing that I'm going to accomplish everything about the Gra. I'm going to do X amount of the Gra. And what he did is beyond comprehension. It's beyond comprehension. But it was the concept of Le'elecha Lacha Ligmar. And that's what led him to move into Reb Chaim Meiser. And he left behind, going back to his generosity, he left behind already, he knew this Rabbi Yaakov Trivitz, who was doing incredible work with Litta and the Beis Medrash of the Gra. He's published Rabbi Yitzchak Eisenhower. I mentioned tons of materials with the Gra. All this again, this Reb Trivitz is his own person, but he was assisted by Reb David, and he helped Reb David with putting out Volume 2 of Reb Chaim Eiser. So that was one such person, L'mashal, Reb Yeshua in Kelowitz with the Maaser Rav. Also, he assisted him because he felt now his job is to deal with Reb Chaim Eiser. And Baruch Hashem, he was able to get out all these materials, all these books, helped so many people. So much Torah came out because of him, whether it's Torah Sagra, Torah Lita, and all different things. I feel that there's so much to learn. We had this special gift. I personally had so much. I gained so much from him. And I, on a daily basis, it's very hard for me. Many times I have a different scoop. I'm about to pick up the phone or write an email. David, is this... I lost this friend, but as they say, I have unbelievable hakaras hatov for what he did do for me and for many others, for the future also, for other people that are researching all these materials. It's the starting point now of many different things. And Hashem Yisbarach should give the kayach to his family, his wife, and his children. They had a special father that was also with them, but he tutored a lot. You know, not everyone realizes this until you start thinking about what it is that he did. It's mind-boggling. And his neshama should be a middle tzayisha for Klal Yisrael.